Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
If I sit and the words keep coming, they won't go away, they just keep coming.
Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
I'm ready to blow it just one more sound.
Brain Injury Radio and Radio Ability are sponsored by the TBI Network.
Find them on facebook.com/TBI Network or at tbifn.org.
Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week, and now, for tonight's episode of Brain Injury Radio.
Hi, this is your host of Mess with MS. I am the Mess with MS. My name is Lisa, and I am pleased to host this program every second and fourth Saturday of the month. I've been on the air for about 5 years now, and if you would like to speak with me, you can call in at 424-243-9540. The program airs at 5:30 Pacific Standard Time, 6:30 Mountain Time, or 8:30 Eastern Time. Tonight, we've got a very special guest and a friend of mine, Suzette Rosario, or Heel Girl. Say hi, Suzette. Heel Girl, are you there? Do you hear me?
Hello? Oh, yeah. Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, now, there you are.
You had me on mute.
Oh, oops. That is my power as someone on the radio, I guess. Sorry. Well, I'm very pleased that you are actually now in the studio.
Well, thank you.
Tonight we're going to talk about if you, yourself, and everyone out there takes power for their health care, or they are dependent on factors outside of themselves, and a little bit of everything in between, I guess. This is something I actually never thought about before I was an adult. In my late 20s and early 30s, it never even came up in my self-concept. Did you think about this? Did you think about if you took control, if you took power in your healthcare as an individual with your diagnosis, before your diagnosis, did you think of your control over your body, over yourself? Did you think about that?
Yeah. I mean, to a certain extent, there were things that I knew were in my control. And then I was aware that there were other things outside of my control.
Yeah.
So I used to exercise and I ate pretty healthy. I became really conscious about food before my diagnosis. And so when I was diagnosed with MS, I already had a somewhat decent amount of knowledge concerning what I shouldn't be eating and what I should be eating. But there are certain things that I always knew were outside of my control, especially when it came to trying to get, like, health insurance, or if I didn't have health insurance and I had health care bills that I just couldn't pay for. and the amount of work that I had to put in to be able to afford to pay for certain medical bills. And those things were just kind of like outside of my control. So it was just a mix.
That is correct. I was actually talking today with a friend of mine, Casey, who's actually waiting on the line, and he was talking about what a disease is and why something is called a disease or a disability. And I actually did some research into that. And one of the reasons that something is called a disease or a disability is for practical reasons. And those practical reasons are because it has to do with your healthcare professionals and whether they want to research, put their time and effort into researching certain medical abnormalities, say, and whether they wish to, you know, put the money and the funding into a certain medical issue and the time and the effort it will take. Because there's so much out there now. There is so many things. We're at a time where there are more autoimmune illnesses than any other time in history. And so there is a lot to be explored as far as autoimmune diseases, and there is a lot to be solved. And can they solve them all? Who knows? But, you know, I'm sure if they could, they'd want to. But that would take a lot of time, money, and effort. So how do they know what to label a disease? Well, so everything comes back to the great dollar, right? which sounds really cynical, and I guess it is. But according to what I did the research on, that really has a lot to do with it, which is sad. But so what they label a disease has to do with marketing, research, and what's going on with that. What do you think about all that? What do you think about doctors and funding and the fact that they have to chase, you know, numbers instead of, I mean, it's all about practicality.
In this country, though, because in other first world countries, most of their citizens don't have to worry about healthcare and money. They just get the healthcare they need. And therefore, disability and disease and definitions and how they come up with the definitions isn't, it's not something that you have to think about in those countries because they're not profiting off of disease. They're not profiting off of illness. And so in this country, unfortunately, those factors exist. I believe is that until the system is fixed, those of us who deal with chronic disease, chronic pain, have to rely on Social Security disability, have to rely on government assistance, we're never going to get the care that we need, or never going to get the assistance that we need, or never going to have the amount of resources that we need. So, you know, whether they label it a disease or a disability, it doesn't matter to me. At the end of the day, I know that I will have to worry whether or not I'm going to be able to feed my kids because I don't qualify for disability. They made it so that because I was a stay-at-home mom for 10 years, I don't have work credits anymore. And so when I applied for disability, I was denied just off of that. And so the system needs to be fixed. And so that means voting in government officials that will actually implement laws that are going to make sure that those who suffer with chronic disease, those who suffer with chronic pain, those of us who are disabled can get the assistance that we need, and we can live without worrying about whether or not we're going to be able to pay our electric bill from month to month.
Well, I left the workforce when I was 22, and that's when I was declared disabled. So I make a very small amount of disability. My paycheck is very small. But I always was an extremely hard worker, and it's difficult for me because I feel like I worked for a very long time. And, I mean, even though I worked until I was 22, but, I mean, I was working forever in my eyes, and I worked past that because I went back to work here and there. But, I mean, and it was reported, but it's very difficult. It is very difficult, and I totally understand. I do not have any dependents, so of course that isn't reflected on my disability, but I understand what you're talking about. Part of the show is going to be about something in psychology called control attribution. So that's something about, like, what internal or external forces, what guide you. So when I say, like, okay, I think that I think that I am, if I get sick, it's because I haven't been drinking my smoothies, I haven't been doing my exercises, I haven't been eating my paleo menus. So I am laying my health on myself. So that's laying my health on myself. Whereas someone else might say, I think that I got sick because I went to a crowded movie theater and I picked up a flu bug. Or that, you know, that same person who went to the crowded movie theater might be me on a different day of the week. Does that make sense? It's two different types of seeing the world.
So the way that I see the world is it's split. There's you 100% blame the outside world, or you 100% blame what you control inside. I feel like each of us has a percentage that we blame the outside world and the percentage that we blame, like, what we can do for ourselves and what we can control and the factors that we can control. And so I feel like the balance, though, with that varies. And the way that I see the world is that there are people who, because of their circumstances, have higher rates of chronic disease, higher rates of progression with MS, have lower chances of getting appropriate health care, and they tend to be minorities. They tend to be LGBTQ, and they're disabled, and this is part of intersectionality. These people can blame their circumstances, because their circumstances keep them from getting good health care. I'm poor. I am way below poverty level.
I agree with you on that. I am too.
I'm not paying for that smoothie. I'm lucky that I can have coffee in the mornings. Okay, regular coffee. The most expensive food that I buy is just fruits and vegetables. But I have to be really careful as to how much I buy. And I'm lucky. I have a vehicle. There are people that live in food deserts that don't have access to healthy foods. They don't have access to transportation to get them to a grocery store. And therefore, they have to rely on their local convenience stores that only sell junk. I mean, you walk into a 7-Eleven and, now you see sometimes an apple or banana. But most of what you see, the cheapest, the most affordable stuff, are chips. You know,
I totally agree.
Unfortunately, and that's where, I have this perspective of, well, I'm really poor. I really don't have very much money. I have four kids. I have three dogs. I have two cats. I have a house. I'm a single mom, and I'm disabled. So how do I make this dollar go further? And, I try my best not to feed my kids crap. I try not to feed myself crap. But I can see how somebody would walk in and, not really understanding nutrition very well, look at the prices of things and automatically choose what's absolutely cheapest so that they can keep the light bill on. They can keep their house. They can keep their car, because it's not easy. It's not easy buying organic.
Oh.
It's not easy. And it's not even easy attaining the education to understand what is healthy and what isn't. That's also a commodity that is for people who have money. You look at how much a personal trainer costs, how much a nutritionist costs.
They're above the medium income line. That's not even something someone who's middle class can afford. That's ridiculous.
And lower income people, especially people like, I don't have family I can rely on. If I run out of money, I run out of money. There is nobody out there to help me. I don't have a lifeline. And so I know what that's like. And I know why people get the flip phones, and pay the $30 a month, to recharge their minutes, instead of having the nice fancy smartphone that they pay over $100 a month to have like all the data and the internet and all that. I make sure that my kids do have internet, that we have internet. It's part, like, I work through my phone. I absolutely need to do that so that I can have people come to my classes and be aware that I'm teaching. But if I didn't have to work on my phone, we probably wouldn't even have internet. It would be just another expense that could be applied to maybe buying healthier foods. But I can't afford a gym membership. And I know that if I didn't have the amount of education that I have concerning health and wellness, I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know what foods were good for me. I wouldn't know what exercises I should be doing or how much I should be exercising. All these factors do play into health, and there are so many people in disadvantaged communities that just do not have access to those resources. And so their health does become dependent on the outside, partially.
So do you get WIC and food stamp benefits?
I get food stamps, yes. But food stamps, $600 a month for six of us. That's $100 a week.
Do they take away from your SSI so that you can get food stamps?
I don't get SSI. I'm not approved
for
disability. Yes, exactly. That's what I was telling you. I'm not qualified to receive Social Security disability because I was a stay-at-home mother for 10 years. The requirement is that you have to have a certain amount of work credits within a certain amount of time when you apply for disability. So because I was married and I became disabled, but I didn't have to work, I was able to stay at home with my kids. The moment that I applied for disability, when my now soon-to-be ex-husband decided he wanted to leave, I was denied. And then I called lawyers and they told me, well, if you don't have the work credits, you're going to have to go back to work and work for at least 5 years. And they're talking to somebody that has a difficult time just functioning on a daily basis at home. There's no way I can work. I have it. I have
we
two
need
different
to
diseases.
Change
I have fibromyalgia. Yeah, we need to change that.
We need to change that.
And that's where we can take responsibility for the choices that we make. That's when we can vote. That's when we can advocate. That's when we can make, bring all this stuff into
if you
the,
feel
into
passionate
light.
About this issue, anyone listening to this right now, write into your representative. Write a letter right now into your representative, please, because it is important.
A lot of people don't think that there's anything, but I've had some really passionate friends who have written letters to representatives, and certain bills were brought up and actually got passed. Or you can call. But honestly, vote. Educate yourself. The best thing you can do is educate yourself as to who to vote for and what these candidates are willing to do for you and for your community and for your family. Because I know for myself, I'm liberal. I vote Democrat. And that's because I don't just want to see the top 10%, you know, getting those tax cuts. I honestly want them to be paying more into taxes. I wouldn't mind paying the 40% tax if I knew that if I had to go to the hospital and get surgery, that I wouldn't have to be paying a ton of money to get that surgery, or that I would be covered from not being able to work, or that I would have disability just the moment I became disabled and I didn't have to worry about work credits. I would pay those extra taxes knowing that my kids would have health care and the best health care. You know, it's unfortunate there are a lot of states where you are qualified for Medicaid because you are below the poverty line, but that also means that you get substandard care because what they pay out to anybody who is contracted through Medicaid, they use the cheapest services. They use the cheapest equipment. Their staff might not be up to date on the latest techniques. And so it's unfortunate that for you to be poor than it is for you to be rich. And it's more expensive for you to be disabled and poor than it is for you to be healthy and rich. I'm sorry. I know I'm throwing a lot out there. I'm just passionate about this.
I know. A lot of people are very passionate. And it's my turn right now to say that everyone has their own opinion. And we here at Blog Talk Radio, everyone has their own opinion. And, you know, we welcome you guys to comment and share your opinions with us, and know that we all have the right to share our opinions here, and that we're all friends no matter what. Okay. And on this show, everyone has the right to share their opinion. We don't focus on one opinion saying that it's the truth and gospel. Everyone has the right to share. It doesn't mean that I'm focusing on any one opinion at all. We've had everything said on the show and shared. Just because it's my opinion or not my opinion doesn't matter.
Well, it does. It does matter.
It does matter.
Especially when you're speaking about clear numbers. Data, scientific data. So sociology.
Well, you and I are friends.
Yeah.
You and I are friends.
Yeah.
And we speaking. Yes. You and I speaking in private is different than you and I speaking over the radio. You know.
Oh, of course.
Like,
guest host. Yeah. No, I know. And then I curse a lot more. Yeah. I use a lot of naughty words when I speak to people outside of the radio. But the thing is, what we're talking about are things that we're not just spewing out subjective data. We're not just saying, we're not really speaking about opinion outside of our own personal experience. We're discussing sociological occurrences within this society concerning the community of disabled people that we belong to. we you know, you, when you talk about the research that you've done, those are not your opinions. Those are just facts that you're throwing out there. People out there can listen to what you're saying and then formulate their own opinion based on that. So when I talk about marginalized communities, marginalized disabled communities that also have intersections woven within minorities, LGBTQ, and I talk about how they're at higher risk for disease or they're at higher risk for receiving lower-end health care, those are numbers. That's facts.
Oh man, I will never forget the first time I stepped into a lower income healthcare facility, it made me feel so full. And I mean,
ashamed,
I felt
almost.
Like they were going to frisk me. I felt like I was stepping into a jail. I don't know. I felt like I was
people don't even, listen, that's why some people who are in the lower income don't even get health care. That's also another fact. A lot of people that they can't afford insurance or because they're on Medicaid or Medicare and it's substandard care. The moment that they leave the office, they vow they're never going to go back to that doctor's office again. And so they end up suffering because of that. And that is just the reality of things. Whatever opinion you want to base off of that, that's your opinion. But when we're discussing these things that are actually happening, this is just a reality of the society that we live in.
Well, like they say in The Big Lebowski, that's just your opinion, man. Oh man. But I totally agree with you. Intersectionality is a huge topic. We need to discuss it more in all areas of autoimmune diseases, and especially for people with low income. We don't discuss low income people enough. We don't discuss people who are LGBTQ enough. I have tried LGBTQ guests on my show. I have tried to have people of all colors of the rainbow
on my
Latina show.
Right now, you got a queer Latina on the phone right now. So there's your first, I guess.
Well, you're not my first, but you're one of my favorites.
Aw, thank you. Does that make you laugh?
I just
What I can say is, sometimes it's really difficult when you're within that particular marginalized community to step into the limelight and discuss the struggle that you have being part of that marginalized community, which is probably why you've had such a hard time trying to get guests of all different kinds of intersections. Because I've had a hard time. I actually tried to spotlight some minority LGBTQ MS family members, and I really only had like a handful of people send me their stories out of 5,000 people who are following me on Instagram. And I'm positive that's because, first of all, we live in a really volatile society that is going after all these different marginalized communities. I mean, the President of the United States is constantly tweeting attacks towards one marginalized group or another, whether it be the trans, whether it be the gay, whether it be the Muslim community, whether it's the Latino community. There is always some sort of marginalized community that he's attacking, and therefore it's riling up all the people that follow and support him and making the rest of us scared to live here and scared to talk about it. I'm not scared, though. I'm one of those people, I've had a rock thrown through my window because of a Black Lives Matter flag, and then the flag went right back out. have a flag outside right now that says Science Matter, Black Lives Matter, Women's Rights Matter, Trans Rights Matter. And if another rock gets through my window, then so be it. But I refuse to be silent because of fear. There are a lot of people that do remain silent because of fear. And so that's probably one of the reasons why you don't have as many guests that are part of multiple intersections.
Well, let me tell you something. I have a lot of people calling in right now. Would you like to talk to any of them before
sure,
you
I
go tonight?
5 minutes before I have to go.
I know. Let me start picking up the phone. Hello, you're on the air. Hello? Hello, you're on the air. Okay.
You're not anymore.
Hello, you're on the air with Lisa and Suzette.
Hi.
Hello.
Yeah, Lisa, I was helping to find you on the air, so it's kind of deleted. So.
Okay, Casey, you're doing okay?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. I just didn't, she was describing something that I didn't realize, and she was, you know, she got this beautiful poem on Lisa.com now.
Okay, Casey. I'm going to let you go, honey, okay? You have a good night, okay?
All right.
Hi, Lisa. This is Alana.
Hello. Hey, Alana. You're on the air with Lisa and
Hi.
Suzette.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Suzette or Heel Girl.
Hello.
How are you, yeah. Ladies?
Good, good, good. How are you?
I am wonderful, and I know you have to run, Heel Girl, but I love what you said about how if you are lower income, you are basically you're kind of screwed. Or if you're
that
middle class,
that is a really succinct way of putting it. Yeah.
Here's the thing
yeah.
is that my husband and I, we're pretty much middle-class folk. He's a special ed teacher, an aspiring filmmaker, and I am on Social Security disability, yet mm-hmm. I work still. I work part-time because I'm able to. Thank you, Gus, Greater Universal Spirit. I work hard, and the way that I'm able to be on SSDI is because I did. I worked for many years. And then my MS just made my brain fog so horrible, and my MS, I was losing jobs too much. And so finally I applied and I got approved for disability. So I do have SSDI, and I am so damn sorry, Heel Girl, that you are in the predicament that you are in. I mean, that sucks ass. That...
Yes, it does.
That it infuriated me that because you didn't, you know, pay and work into the system because you didn't, you know, have taxes taken out of a paycheck, that you're basically up ish creek.
Well, the crazy thing is that I worked until I was almost 30. So
uh-huh.
I worked full time, and actually with it from the age of – I started working when I was 14. I got my worker's permit at 14. I applied for it.
Oh, my goodness.
I mm-hmm. walked 3 miles to work, 3 miles back to work because
uh-huh.
I wanted to work. And so I started off at gas stations, KFC. I became a chef by the time I was 18 because I had been working for so long. By the time that I was 20,
okay.
I was running my own kitchen. By the time that I was 23,
wow.
I already had degrees in culinary and hospitality management. I then went into the bank world. I worked at Capital One Auto Finance. I worked at JP Morgan and Chase. I learned how to manage IRAs and how to talk to retiring people about their retirement accounts and how to transfer
mm-hmm.
money over and how to start 401ks and all that stuff. I became disabled when I turned, the year I turned 31. And
okay.
I didn't anticipate having to be on disability because I was married. So
right.
even though I had worked for close to 16 years of my life, my work credits expired after a certain amount of time because I was a stay-at-home mom. And I was okay at that time with my then-husband being the one who worked, and I stayed home with my babies. Mm-hmm. The idea was that I would get my degree and that I would have at least some way of making income. But since he's gone, I don't have the ability to pay into finishing my classes. And so I'm kind of in this weird limbo area where I don't qualify for SSDI. I can't really work more than a few hours a week because I am that disabled. And then I don't even have the degree that would help me. So it's...
So because, I just have to say to you, because you made the incredible decision to be a badass stay-at-home mom, you are suffering the consequences.
I'm being punished for it. And I feel like mothers,
God bless you,
because
that's the toughest job. That's the toughest job, being a parent.
Well,
that's the toughest work, and our nation just doesn't realize.
But this is really the only country, this is really the only first world country that doesn't protect the stay-at-home parent. There are other countries that protect the stay-at-home parent. They make sure that they have adequate help, adequate income, adequate health care. And so this is really the only country that, the really progressive country, that doesn't take care of just basically anybody in general who isn't rich. I honestly feel like anybody who's not rich is getting screwed over right now.
Yeah.
You're kind of right about that, you know, and I didn't intend to get on Blog Talk Radio in hopes of getting into a political discussion, but it just kind of went that way, it turned that way.
I didn't start a political discussion on the show, but you know what? Sometimes you got to... And I agree with this
politics.
Totally.
Yeah. Okay, a lot of people want to separate politics from life, but you can't because politics seeps into every aspect of our life, from how much we pay for electricity to how much we pay for gas to how much our clothes cost and how much our food costs. And so politics is our life. Politics is how we view our moral obligation to society. And it's an incredibly important part of being disabled because politics dictates how much you're going to get in your disability check. It dictates whether or not you're going to get a disability check. It tells you who you could see as a doctor, what kind of insurance you qualify for, if you qualify for insurance or not. So it's important to talk about politics.
Is your name is it Suzette? Okay, so Suzette for president or Lisa Dreyer for president?
I think we'll run together.
I think it would have to be both of us together.
Yeah.
Or maybe we could be advisors to whatever president. I don't think that I have the mental fortitude to do.
Lisa could be vice president, and Suzette be president, and I'll be somewhere in there. We'll have a female
part of the cabinet,
right? But anyways, I just wanted to ask because you were talking about, I mean, the topic of this show, the focus of this show. That's what I wanted to say is that. I do feel like I am in charge of my health. I have taken charge, and I've been giving a big, I'm doing the symbol right now. You can kind of guess which symbol I'm doing, but I've been giving the big to the American medical system. I'm not on a single drug. I'm only on acupuncture and vitamins and I try to go to the doctor as little as possible. We need doctors. We need Western medicine. But we also need a compromise, and we need some reform in our medical, in our healthcare system. But you are, I really appreciate you, your intelligence. You're amazing. So thank you for your time, and that's all I have to say. I interrupted you. I apologize.
No, it's okay. Thank you.
I'm always happy when you call.
Before I head out, so what I wanted to add to what you were saying about what control we have, I'm one of those people that will not allow my circumstances to dictate my health, my choices. I've learned to advocate for myself.
Amen.
I am not on any pharmaceuticals. I see my neurologist now once a year, and he actually was the one that told me that I don't need to be on pharmaceuticals. But that's because I went ahead and I decided to put in hours into researching the kinds of foods that I should be eating, how often I should be working out, what workouts are appropriate for me, what supplements are appropriate for me, how to manage my stress better, and how to do it without worrying about spending money on anything. So cheap, cost-effective ways of being able to live a happier, healthier lifestyle with MS and fibromyalgia. And so there is a large chunk that is fully your own. You have to take accountability and responsibility for your health. So those factors that are outside of you that want to bring you down, the factors of having no social security disability, the factors of having to have substandard health care, the factors of having to live in a society that doesn't really care about marginalized communities, those factors will affect you somewhat, but they won't affect you as much. And so in spite of the hardships that you go through because of those outside factors, you still manage to control the things you can control in a way that makes it easier for you to live your life. And that's what I've done.
Wow. Thank you for inspiring me.
Yeah.
Yvette,
and with that, you are such a badass. Thank you so much.
Girl. You only got one life, right? And it's very short. Why not make the best life you can possibly make it? So,
hell yeah.
I agree.
That's
right,
what
that,
I'm saying
yeah.
right
you
now.
You guys go.
Yeah. thank
and,
you. Bless you. Yeah.
You can, thank you. And you can find me on social media, Heal Girl, HEALGIRL. I'm also on Facebook, Suzette Rosario. She's at Heal Girl Rosario. You can ask Lisa. She can hook you up. I do lots of advocating. I do lots of informing. I like to help bring awareness. And I like to be a health coach for free to anyone who needs it. And with that, I'll let you guys go.
Sprinkle that positivity
Bye.
Everywhere.
I want to spread it all over the place. Bye, guys.
Okay, lady, I love you.
Bye. Love you, too.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye. Hey, Alana.
Hey, Lisa. So is Suzette S-U-S-E-T-T-E or
S-U-S-E-T? Now you have me all confused.
Now you don't know. I'll find her.
She also has been in the hashtag MSBeautiful.
Really? I haven't even noticed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she did a Colorado photo shoot with me and Tori Davis Wampy.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but she is
awesome.
Wonderful. A real.
All right, when are you
MS
coming to California,
advocate.
Baby girl?
Really soon. Yeah. Really soon.
Come on out west, Lisa.
Yes, if for those who don't know, I think I said on the last show, I am living in a 14-foot trailer. I am currently broadcasting the show from Picacho. I say that because I'm a silly. Picacho, Arizona.
Picacho.
A RV park in Picacho, Arizona. I said Pikachu because that's what I've been saying. Picacho, Arizona. Pikachu.
Lisa, I have to say something. something. I totally forgot that you had moved to Arizona with Chris. I forgot.
We've been back. Coming here,
I know.
We've been all around.
I need to
RV.
Come on out to Arizona, and I need to come
but
to
we're
gonna
be
Pikachu.
In California. We're going to be in California soon. We're going to.
Are you
to,
moving? Or are you visiting?
No. Well, we're in the RV, so we can be anywhere. But
oh,
literally,
that's right.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? The way of SoCal is to park an RV on the side of a residential street. So maybe you
can
park
yours
on mine.
Well, we need to get down with the dry camping first. So,
can be in touch. Craig and I are in Tarzana, and you already knew that. But come on out to Tarzana. Yeah. I'm sorry
to
kind of dominate.
You need to, like, start introducing me to all the movie stars. I haven't played it since I made the show.
You know, Craig. Craig just got to meet. Oh, what's his name? Okay, he's right here. Hey, love, who's the movie star
the
that you just
time
saw?
I on the,
who's the star
like,
that you saw at
rumor.
The theater? Okay, never mind.
I mean, it's actually a good
he's
one.
Like,
that
is
the way of
radio?
It. I used to sit down and,
he's
like...
He's not telling. I'm not allowed to.
You know, it was actually a really good show.
He's good about that. Like, he protects the privacy of celebrities.
That's how I was raised.
So.
That's how I was raised.
Yeah.
Don't pretend that you don't know who's right in front of your face. They'll appreciate
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Anyways, I'll just tell you, it was a humongous star that he just ran into, and
you freaked out.
It was sad that I wasn't right with him because I was waiting for him in the car, and he got to see him. He got to shake his hand. I didn't. So. I won't disclose who the star was, but they're people just
it
like
was humongous.
Us, you know.
It was humongous. Yeah, I went up to someone at a party once because my mom was like, it's okay, you can this time. So, I understand.
Yeah. No big whoop, right?
Yeah, no big whoop.
I'm so glad I didn't already disclose who this celeb was. Because I'd be in trouble with my hubby. So, anyway.
It's okay. Just take a picture with them next time. You know.
Oh, yeah. Sure. He came in through back door. Oops, I already gave up his sex.
I have a wonderful friend who I'll have to have on the show at some point. She's... One of the first people I ever met who had MS once I was diagnosed. And what she does is she walks up to people who are famous and she hands them a camera and she's like, "Can you please take a picture of me? Can you please take my picture?" And I think they totally are taken aback by that. But so she has a huge photo album of pictures of herself, and underneath it she writes, you know, so-and-so took my picture. And it's wonderful. I think that's the most amazing thing ever. And, I'll have to get her to come on the show at some point because she's fantastic.
Yes, yes she will.
But, she's a great friend, and she was a wonderful contact for me. And she taught me a lot. Yeah.
That's
so,
great.
How do you feel about before you were diagnosed, did you feel like you used to say, I picked up a germ, and that's why I'm sick, or you know the genetics in my family are bad, and so that's why I'm sick.
Before diagnosis,
Lisa? Yeah, or now.
You're asking if I used to say, oh, I picked up a bug, that's why I'm sick, or?
Like, did you used to say that, or do you still say that? Do you still say, you know, because I know that I used to blame lots of things, and probably, I still probably have a mixed, it's probably still a mixed bag. Like, I'm sick because I caught this from someone else, or I'm lazy today because,
you know what, Lisa? I got to tell you, I make myself so crazy because of my thinking. Like, I think my brain goes crazy so much thinking, could it be this? Could it be this? Could it be that? Could it be this? You know, is it something I ate? Is it because, you know, as MSers, we feel shitty a lot. I mean, we feel, well, here's the thing. With my MS, Lisa, there is no predicting the days that I'm going to feel like absolute horse crap. There is no predicting.
Yeah.
And so my brain thinks, okay, what atmospheric condition was it that contributed, you know? And honestly, I think having MS, you got to just accept the fact that it's not all, you don't always have a condition to blame it on. There's not always, you can't always blame it on the weather, even though weather absolutely affects us. You can't always blame it on what you ate, even though that absolutely affects us. I mean, it could be a number of reasons why we might be feeling sick at any given time. So
obviously, you don't depend on your doctor as the white knight.
Not at all. You know what? I'll tell you something. Right now, I've got this weird-ass rash. It's like a mustache goatee. It's around my mouth. And it's just a bizarre rash. And I have called my primary care doctor, and all he told me was to buy hydrocortisone cream. But it's just been persistent. And you know what? It's been so many years that I've had really bizarre things like that happen with skin. I mean, I have eczema on my scalp and skin. And so I'm not surprised by this rash that's the mustache and goatee of bumps around my mouth. It's just, it's terrible. But that's all my primary care doctor said was buy some hydrocortisone cream. And then I'm dealing with this eye issue now. Well, I scheduled an appointment with an ophthalmologist, but I've had extremely dry eyes, and it's been going on for several months, so I'm hoping the ophthalmologist can help me out with it, because it's bad, and all my primary, and I did.
Are your nose and throat dry as well?
No.
Okay.
It's strictly the eyes, and that's why I scheduled an appointment with an ophthalmologist, because maybe I need a different pair of contacts, or maybe I need a different pair of drops. I bought some gel drops.
It could be allergies.
Some of it is, but my doctor has me on prescription Claritin, and so I take that every morning. I don't know. That hasn't helped. So we'll see what the ophthalmologist says, and I'll keep you abreast of what's going on there. But yeah, I do have a great primary care doctor, though, that I do seem to call for anything and everything that's going awry with me. It seems to be a lot lately. I'm super sleepy.
Yeah.
What else is new, right, Lisa? What else is new?
No,
it's,
I totally
like,
understand.
6:24 here right now, and I'm hungry, and my husband Craig said that we have to go shopping, and I don't really want to go to the grocery store, but, so about the dry eyes, like right now I'm wearing my glasses. I took my contacts out earlier because that's how much they bug me. Like, my eyes just cloud up. And I'll tell you something hilarious. I've been saying in Grandma Mutti, my Austrian grandma's voice, I kid you not, this is how she would have sounded. God rest her soul, Mutti, she's in heaven. But she would have said, oh, my eyes are so fucked up. My eyes are so fucked up. Like an obscenity, right? But she really would have been saying, my eyes are so fogged up. But the way Mutti sounded to it, said, my eyes are so fucked up. There's Alana's profanity for the night on Blog Talk Radio. How do you like that, Lisa? Sorry.
You're not saying anything bad, though. You're just talking in an accent, and that's okay.
That's all.
Well, a dialect, so speaking not of, an accent. There's a difference.
Yes. Speaking of accents, I don't know if you saw a post of mine fairly recently. I think that I must pursue my artistic abilities. And I need to be in action. I can't just be talk the talk and not walk the walk. Like, I need to actually register for an art class or a poetry class or poetry group instead of just saying, I need to do it because I have oodles of artistic abilities and they've been laying dormant since I started drinking in the year 1999 to 2007, and then I quit drinking, but they're still dormant, the artistic abilities. So,
well, why
anyways,
don't we
get
together and start up my Poetry of Pain group again, because it's just been lying dormant. So why don't we start it up again?
An idea. I like that,
no one's
Lisa.
Been doing
I forgot
anything.
All about that.
No
I
one's
forgot.
Doing
I completely forgot
it.
About Poetry of Pain. I
so
forgot that.
Well, so has everyone else. So why don't we start, you and I, why don't we start it up again? And why don't we make that our passion project?
Beautiful. I was in a passion play in my younger days. I was in a passion play, so I'm all about.
Those are beautiful.
The poetry group, my passion. Yes.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, right? Okay.
Woo! So I love it.
I'm tired. Yes. So just let me know. Just text me or message me. There are so many modes of communication. Just get in touch with me somehow, and we'll start up. Poetry of Pain, once again, we'll revive it. We'll give it some CPR. Okay.
Yep. There we go.
All right,
and
mouth
for those
to mouth
of you listening
on Poetry of
out,
Pain.
Yeah, for those of you listening out in, I always say out in La La Land, out in Radio Land, you can come check out Lisa and Alana's Facebook group, Poetry of Pain. It will be on again. And I'm so pleased you called in tonight. Thank you so much for giving me
for
your opinion.
Me, sweetheart.
Oh, you're so welcome. About health, and if you are in control or if external forces are in control, it's been wonderful talking to you. And
likewise.
I'm just so pleased. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And tell Craig, I hope he's doing well, and I hope his grocery needs are satisfied.
He sure will. And if ever I'm in Arizona again, I will definitely call you. But you be sure to call
I'll be in
California
before you're in Arizona. I promise you that.
I know that is true. I know that's true. All right. Okay, and say hi to Chris for me, sweetheart. Okay.
I will.
Love you, Lisa.
Okay. Love you too, Lana.
Right.
Okay.
Bye, dear.
Good night, sweetie. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Hello out there in Blog Talk Radio land. I think I have one more person on the line, and let's see how he feels about his health and how he feels. So let's see. Casey, are you there? Okay, Casey, I hope you're doing well. Okay, everybody. I think we've had a wonderful show about health attributions, about whether it is an internal or external mission. And I think we can keep talking about this. And I really thank Suzette for coming on tonight, for Casey for showing up, for Alana for showing up, and everyone else for listening in. Thank you so much, and I can't wait for another episode of Mess with MS. Good night.